Full house today. That's the way we like it. Hey, welcome to Beecher Island. I know Jeff said something earlier, but I just want to take a moment to welcome you to Beecher Island too. See some new faces here, which is awesome. Thank you guys for coming down and checking us out. I just want to tell you real quick that I'm not the pastor guy of this church. That's Corey Clark, and he's off. I believe he's rodeoing this week. Well, he's not. His daughters are, but he's doing that thing, being a dad and being awesome, because that's what Corey does. But anyway, every once in a while he's gone, they'll ask me to fill in. My name's Tucker, and I'm just honored. It's always a pleasure to come and fill in here and just be here with you guys. It's been kind of a crazy couple weeks. In fact, I've missed 2 weeks because 2 weeks ago we had that big fire down there at Cures, and we were kind of under the gun, and so we didn't come to church that Sunday, and then last Sunday we were sick, and so anyway, I come back and I get to stand up here too. So anyway, it's fun stuff. Hey, let me introduce Beecher Island to you right quick. Beecher Island is a independent, non-denominational, Jesus-loving, Bible-preaching church. That's straight up all there is to it. I was having a conversation with my brother here yesterday, and he's attended a church down in Burlington for some time, and anyway, he hasn't gone for a little while, and I said, man, you ought to come up and try Beecher Island out. And then we were kind of talking about it, and I'm like, man, I promise you this, you're going to hear the word there. You're going to hear the word. And the coolest thing about it is, and Corey says it, and I'm going to echo it, that if something is said wrong from up here, somebody else come correct it. Figure it, you know, let's have a conversation about that, because we darn sure don't want to be false prophets of any sort. That's not something that we want to do. That's what we do here. We preach the word, and it's exciting stuff. So I tell you, I was on to fill in for Corey 2 weeks ago when the fire was. And so I kind of started this message in my head back then. And I just never really know. I just never really know what I'm going to say on a Sunday morning. And a lot of times I'll just do a bunch of praying about it. I'll jump into the Word, flip open the Bible, do some looking. Maybe it's something that I've heard or seen on a video somewhere during that week. And something starts conjuring up, and the Lord fixes it around and says, this is what you need to tell the people. And I will say that every time that that's happened, it's because the message first hit me. There are people in this building that know this Bible a lot better than I do. And so I can't stand up here and say, well, I just know all this stuff about the Bible and I'm going to preach it to you. But it's something that the Lord first lays on my heart. And so I was kind of preparing and thinking about that and thinking about where I wanted to go. And it was just kind of different for some reason this week. And the way that the Lord led me to it. So we're going to kind of be bouncing around in the Bible a little bit this morning. But if you want to open your Bibles up to Mark chapter 16, and while you're going there, let's go to him with a word of prayer. Father God, we just thank you so much for today, Lord. We thank you for the moisture that you've given us. We thank you for the sunshine out there. We thank you for this newness of life, this green grass, the calves that are bouncing around, Lord, and just the warmer weather and just the evidence that you are here all around us at all times. We thank you so much for that, Lord. This morning, I just pray that whatever words come out of my mouth that they are from you, Lord, and I just pray that I can get myself out of the way and just let you do the work and let Christ be shown. And we thank you so much for this word and for this Bible and the ability to get you to know you better. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. All right, so as you're flipping open your Bible in chapter 16 of Mark there, I just want to say, as I was preparing for this message, I was asking the Lord, like, where do I go? What direction do you want me to go here? And I got to thinking about the time that we have in a year's time, right? And that we start kind of this big buildup in our faith, in our Christian walk, whatever, in a year's time, say start at Christmas time. We talk about Jesus' birth and we celebrate that time. And then some time goes by and then we get into this season that we just kind of got over with, right? It coming up on Holy Week and this big buildup of events that leads up to what ultimately happened to Jesus on the cross and what ultimately happened that he was resurrected. And we have Palm Sunday when Jesus rode in on the donkey and they're waving palm branches. And I always love that part of the that account of the Bible, what Jesus did there. We come up on the Last Supper and we know about Judas and know that that he's going to be the one to betray Jesus. That's kind of when communion kind of got introduced, all that kind of stuff. Good Friday, the day that he got hung on the cross and ultimately died a death for all of us. He was the sacrifice, the final sacrifice for us. And then Saturday was pretty quiet as Jesus was in the tomb. And then Sunday rolls around and we celebrate Resurrection Sunday. The stone was rolled away. We hear about Mary Magdalene, the other women being there at the tomb. There, Jesus was not in it anymore. There were some angels. There were some men that were clothed in white, like big, big stuff. He come out of the grave, right? And it's awesome to know what Jesus did, that death could not hold him. He unlocked that. And to think about that from our standpoint, and as a Christian, what that means for us, that we have eternal life through Jesus Christ and what he did. He was resurrected so that we can have life too. And there's this big buildup of all this amazing stuff that happened during Holy Week. And it set aside the Easter bunny and the eggs and all the sugar that we pour into to our kids. We do that. And because I get to steal some every once in a while. Set aside all that, but all the emotion and all the just amazing feeling that we get to have leading up to Resurrection Sunday. And so as I was thinking about today, I'm like, so then what? So then what, Lord? We have this big climax of events that goes up. I mean, bam. Here we are. We get after Resurrection Sunday. Then what? What does the Bible say then? And so I took some time and I opened up all four Gospels, and I studied and I read through those from the resurrection going forward. And I was kind of amazed at some stuff that was brought up to me. So we're just going to start. I'm going to read some short passages in a couple of the different Gospels. We're going to be in all four of them at some point this morning. But we're going to start in Mark chapter 16. I'm going to start in verse 9. It says, "Now after he had risen early on the first day of the week, he first appeared to Mary Magdalene, from whom he had cast out seven demons. She went and reported to those who had been with him while they were mourning and weeping. When they had heard that he was alive and he had been seen by her, they refused to believe it. After that, he appeared in a different form to two of them while they were walking along their way to the country. They went away and reported it to the others, but they did not believe them either." We could continue on. Right after that, the disciples get commissioned. Let's jump over quick to Luke 24. Luke 24. I'm going to start in verse 1 and read through 12. It says, "But on that first day of the week, at early dawn, they came to the tomb bringing the spices which they had prepared. And they found the stone rolled away from the tomb. But when they entered, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. While they were perplexed about this, behold, two men suddenly stood near them in dazzling clothing. And as the women were terrified and bowed their faces to the ground, the men said to them, 'Why do you seek the living one among the dead? He is not here, but he is risen. Remember how he spoke to you while he was still in Galilee, saying that the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified, and the third day rise again.' And they remembered his words and returned from the tomb and reported these things to the 11 and to all the rest. Now they were Mary Magdalene and Joanna and Mary the mother of James. Also the other women with them were telling these things to the apostles. But these words appeared to them as nonsense, and they would not believe them. But Peter got up and ran to the tomb, stooping and looking in. He saw the linen wrappings only, and he went away to his home, marveling at what had happened." Now we're going to jump over to verse 24. Oh, wait, where am I at? I'm sorry. Yep, 24. Where am I at here? "Some of those who were with us went to the tomb and found it just exactly as the women had also said, but him they did not see. And he said to them, 'O foolish men and slow of heart to believe in all the things the prophets have spoken. Was this not necessary for the Christ to suffer these things and enter into his glory?' Then beginning with Moses and with all the prophets, he explained to them the things concerning himself in the scriptures. I'm going to go one more place in chapter 24 there. I'm just skipping over to verse 36. Hopefully you're following along. If not, you can just listen. That's totally fine. While they were telling these things, he himself stood in their midst and said to them, "Peace be to you." But they were startled and frightened and thought that they were seeing a spirit. And he said to them, "Why are you troubled? And why do doubts arise in your hearts? See my hands and my feet? That is I myself. Touch me and see, for spirit does not have flesh and bones as you see that I have." And when he had said this, he showed them his hands and his feet. While they still could not believe it because of their joy and amazement, he said to them, "Have you anything in here to eat?" They gave him a piece of broiled fish, and he took and he ate it before them. Now he said to them, "These are my words which I spoke to you while I was still with you, and that all things which are written about me in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms must be fulfilled." Then he opened their minds to understand the scriptures, and he said to them, "Thus it is written that the Christ would suffer and rise again from the dead the third day, and the repentance for forgiveness of sins would be proclaimed in his name to all the nations beginning from Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things." I'm going to stop right there. The overwhelming thing that I saw after the resurrection surprised me. The overwhelming thing that I saw was the amount of unbelief, the amount of doubt that was there in and amongst the disciples, the women and the people that knew Jesus Christ. The amount of unbelief, the amount of doubt. Here, these men and women had got to know Jesus on a very personal level. I mean, I am sure as I'm standing here that they probably had the chance to go and give Jesus a hug every once in a while. They felt Jesus. They could probably smell his clothes or the dust off of his feet. They heard his voice. They heard him teaching and preaching and telling stories and encouraging. And they saw how Jesus got in these arguments with some of the Pharisees. And they saw all of that. They got to witness all of that. He told them that he was going to die, and on the third day he was going to be raised again, and they didn't believe it. He said he was going to do it, and they didn't believe it. And so I think about myself, and I'm just going to tell you guys, I'm just going to tell you my heart right now. I'm standing up here in front of all you guys, supposed to be telling this word, and I'm going to tell you right now, I'm just going to be honest. Sometimes I have doubt. Is there anyone else in here like me? I don't expect you to raise your hands. Thank you if you did. Sometimes I have doubt. Sometimes I have a hard time believing. Sometimes I know for sure that this book is the inerrant word of God, that every word in it is inspired by Him, that God is real, that Jesus is real. I was saved when I was in the third grade. I've been a Christian for a lot of my life, and there are still times that I struggle believe in some of this stuff. Why is that? After some time passes, I'll go back and I talk to Jesus, and it's okay. It's fine. I get it. But I think about these disciples, and you know, here we are 2,000 years later, and they got to touch him, they got to talk to him, they got to listen to him. And they didn't believe. So what? We're 2,000 years past that, and unless the Lord comes today or tomorrow, we're not going to get that opportunity to see Him in the flesh the way the disciples are. And so I ask myself, if someone were to come to me today and say, "Hey, I'm having a hard time believing. I got some doubt in my heart." What would I tell them? What would I tell someone who comes to me and is like, "Man, I'm just struggling with some of this stuff. Like, how does that all work?" What would I tell them? Well, the first thing I'd tell them is go to the Bible, because the Bible's the truth. It's all right there. There were witnesses that seen it. So go read the Bible. And the Bible, you know, it's a historical document written. There's what, 66 books in that thing? Correct me if I'm wrong. 66 books. There's over 40 authors in that thing. Spread over 1,500 years, a couple different continents in or three different languages, and they all point to the same God. Like, this is a true book. It's a historical document. So go to that. But what if that wasn't enough? What would I tell them? What would I tell them? I would tell them this. And some of you in this building have heard, I'm going to tell a couple short stories this morning. Some of you have heard this, but I love telling these stories because it reminds me of who Jesus is. And it reminds me to make sure that I always know. He's given me these times in my life that I can hang on to. And I'm going to tell you this first one. 15 years ago, last month, my father-in-law passed away. And he wasn't my father-in-law yet. I had asked Andrea to marry me, and he had said yeah. I don't know why he said yeah, but he did, and I'm happy about that. But anyway, he'd passed away. And he was a man of God. He knew Christ. He was saved. He went to heaven. I was at the time student teaching down in Stratton. I was going to be a big old ag teacher one of these days, and that didn't happen. But I was student teaching down in Stratton, and so it was like 2 weeks after Steve had passed away, funeral's over with, everything's done, and I'm back down there student teaching. I had this dream this night, okay? I call it a dream because I don't know what else to call it. It was so real. But I had this dream. At the time, I had a Samsung flip phone, and I got a call in the middle of the night, and I rolled over and looked at it, and it said restricted on the screen. I'm going to back up just for a second. Anytime that I would call Andrea on the phone or I would come and visit and I'd walk up the steps of the mudroom into the kitchen, Steve was there. Every time I talked to him, he'd always say it in a voice, I can't do it, but he'd just say, hey, Tucker, how you doing? I picked up the phone this night. Hey, Tucker, how you doing? What? And I'm like, Steve, you're dead. You're in heaven. And he's like, yeah, how you guys doing? I'm like, we're doing as good as we can. We're doing as good as we can. I said, what are you up to? There's two things that he told me. I don't remember one of them for whatever reason, but the other one was that he had to go to a meeting. So I don't know what kind of meeting he had to go to in heaven, but apparently it was cool. And we talked for a little while, just kind of small talk, and it's time to get off the phone. And I wasn't planning on this happening. But he said, it is so beautiful and awesome up here. I cannot wait for you to get here. Guys, I got a phone call from heaven, from my father-in-law, that says, it is beautiful and awesome, and he can't wait for me to get there. What would I tell people that are having a hard time struggling, believing? What would I tell people that have doubt right now? I'd tell them that story. Are you in this place? Do you have doubt? Are you having a hard time believing? I want you to know that Jesus Christ is real. He's alive. The things that happened 2,000 years ago happened for real. And there is a heaven. And I know somebody that's there because I've talked to him. Jesus is alive. Jesus is alive. I want to swing over to John if you still have your Bibles open. Flip open to John chapter 20. I'm going to start in verse 24. It says, but Thomas, one of the 12 called Didymus, was not with them when Jesus came. See, the other disciples were saying to him, we have seen the Lord. But he said to them, unless I see in his hands the imprints of the nails and put my finger into the place of the nails and put my hand into his side, I will not believe. After 8 days, his disciples again were inside and Thomas with them. Jesus came, the doors having been shut, and stood in their midst and said, peace be with you. Then he said to Thomas, reach here with your finger and see my hands, and reach your hand and put it into my side, and do not be unbelieving, but believing. Thomas answered and said to him, my Lord and my God. Man, we harp on old Thomas, don't we, as Christians? Like, man, you're one of the disciples and you didn't believe. Like, we call him Doubting Thomas for a reason, right? He was a doubter. He was a doubter, and he wasn't with the rest of the disciples when they got to see him. And this is the part that I think is so awesome about this account, is that Thomas said he wasn't going to believe unless he could actually see Jesus for himself. And what did Jesus do? Jesus showed up. Jesus showed up and said, all right, Thomas, here I am. Believe. We harp on him so much. I have in my life. I read that and I'm like, oh, that dang old Thomas. But then I look in the mirror and I'm like, oh, that guy in the mirror. So what do we do? Because Jesus don't leave us hanging. Jesus, don't leave us hanging. I will stand here and say, if you're having a hard time believing, if there's doubt in your heart, and you cry out to Jesus and say, Lord, if you would show me to yourself in some way that I would have no doubt that it's you, that would be awesome. And I am convinced that he would do that for you. We have to open our eyes, just like we sang that song earlier. We have to open our eyes. We have to understand that he's going to show us. But we have to change our heart. We have to open our eyes to him, right? So this is my second story. In 2015, 9 years ago, Andrew and I, and many of you may have heard this story too, but if you haven't, I'm going to tell it again. Andrew and I have a daughter named Emery, and 9 years ago, on the 15th of April, she was born. And there's a lot of backstory, but she was early, she was premature. We knew that there was a chance she was going to be really, really sick. She was going to have to go into the NICU. Andrew was on bed rest in the hospital in Fort Collins, seemed like forever away. And so sure enough, the day comes. We have a C-section. The doctors pull Emery out. She's having a hard time breathing. She's struggling. She's not going to make it. So they put her on this bed, and they're gone. And they go to the NICU, and I'm just walking along behind like a dog because I don't know what else to do. We get her over there. And guys, I'm telling you, craziest time in my life. Here's my daughter laying on this bed, and she's hooked up to so many machines. I don't even know what they all were. I'm telling you, they had to go into the corner and blow the dust off of a couple of the machines because they don't use them that often. That's how sick she was. And they have her on IVs. They had, like you can imagine, right? And they have that she's intubated. They have air going into her, pushing oxygen in. They have the CO2 coming back out. And it's called an oscillator, and her little vibrating 600 times a minute, just like this. And Andrew and I, all we could do was stand there. We couldn't touch her. We couldn't help her. We had no power to do anything at all. Just watch these machines do their thing. They're beeping, and they're bleeping, and they're pumping, and they're doing whatever they're doing. And we're just standing there. We can't do nothing. Above Emery, she had a touch of jaundice, right? So any of the parents or people might know jaundice, their skin gets yellow, some liver issue. Back in the day, they used to put you outside or put you in a window and let the sun hit you. Today, they have these bilirubin lights, right? So there's this bilirubin light that's sitting above Emery's little bed here. And it looks like an LED light. There's little bitty lights in it that makes up this big light. And right dead center in the middle of this, kind of a beautiful blue bilirubin light, right dead center in the middle of it, are lights that are burned out. And they're in the perfect shape of a cross. Andrew and I look down. There's other sick babies in there with bilirubin lights. They have lights. There's not a light burned out on those. So I know it's not the way that the lights were made. And so we asked the nurse, we're like, hey, what's the deal with the light? She says, I don't know. Every once in a while, you just have some of them burn out. It was in the perfect shape of a cross. Guys, I'm telling you this right now. Jesus Christ was there keeping my daughter alive. You say what you want to about all the machines and all the pumps and all the everything that she was on. Jesus Christ was right there. He was the one keeping my daughter alive. What would I say to someone who's having a hard time believing, who's doubting Jesus? I would tell them that story. I'd tell them that story that Jesus Christ was there, and there's things in my life that have happened that I know for sure that God is present and that things are happening and that He is working on me. He's working on me. He's working on my belief. He's working on me not doubting. And He gives me these things to be able to bank on, to know for sure that He is 100% alive and He is real and He is true, and every word that we read is not all for naught. It is God. And He gave me those stories that I could share them too. Verse 29 there in John chapter 20, it says, Jesus said to him, because you have seen me, have you believed? And then He says, blessed are they who did not see and yet believed. That's us. We haven't got to see the nail marks in His hand. We haven't got to see the slice in His side where the Romans stabbed Him. We haven't got to see that. And Jesus said, because of that, because we haven't seen and we believe, we're blessed because of it. So hang on to that. We're blessed because of it. I'm going to flip over one more time to Matthew. Matthew 28. starting in verse 16 through 20. It says, "But the 11 disciples proceeded to Galilee, to the mountain which Jesus had designated. When they saw him, they worshipped him, but some were doubtful. And Jesus came up and spoke to them, saying, 'All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of age.'" What amazes me about this account is that Jesus is headed up to this mountain. He sees the disciples, yet they still doubted. You know what the cool thing was? He understood. He's like, I get it. He understands that we're human. He understands that there's going to be things that we have a hard time believing in. There's going to be things that we've seen, heard with our eyes, our ears, that we're going to have a hard time making it all click. He gets it. But you know what? He doesn't write us off. He still told them. He said, "Go and make disciples of nations. You've got a job to do. You might have a hard time believing. You might be doubting a little bit, but you got a job to do. So go do it. Go tell the world about me." That's what's so awesome about Jesus. He gets it. He understands. And he doesn't write us off. Even there's times that I'm like, man, I'm not worthy to be standing here in this spot. I'm not worthy. Because there's times that my heart ain't quite there. But Jesus, he keeps giving me the words to say. And I praise him for it. It's him coming out. It's nothing that I'm doing. But you've still got a job to do. You've still got a job to do. When you know him, go and tell somebody about him. Don't mean you got to preach. You don't mean you got to go on some missionary journey. Just live it. Stand up in it. Put it on. Wear it. And let people see it. I've said it before. Preach the gospel wherever you go, and sometimes use words. Go and tell people about him. And you know what? You're going to be blessed. You're going to be blessed. That's what faith is all about. Hebrews 11:1. It says, "Now faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen." That's a gift from God too, our faith. Sometimes we take our faith on our own shoulders and we have to build our own faith and this and that. But you know what? Faith is a gift of God. It comes straight from him, and it's an assurance. It's that thing that we feel in our heart. It's assurance of the things that we can hope for. And you know what we hope for? We hope for one day there's going to be no more pain. There's going to be no more suffering. There's going to be no more hardship. There's going to be a day that we are standing before God in glory, and it's going to be amazing. That doesn't mean we've got to give up on what we're doing right now. He gave us life for right here too. It's conviction of things not seen. And I don't know about you guys, my heart's been convicted. I haven't seen Jesus Christ, the nail marks in his hand, the stab wound in his side. I haven't seen that, but I've been convicted of it, and I'm sure thankful of it. That's where the faith comes in. Corey Clark, for 2 years, preached on John. I don't know if it was that long or not. It was a long time. And I should have this verse memorized. Maybe some of you guys do. But John 20:31 says, "But these have been written so that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing, you may have life in his name." Are you having a hard time believing today? Do you have doubt? These things have been written. This account, this is a testimony. People wrote this stuff down so that you and I could read it and believe in what happened. In what he did. It's a historical account. It's been written so that we can believe. So dive into that. Pray. Dive into the Bible. Learn about it. And when you have doubt, read some more. Because God will take care of that for us. I'm going to invite the music team back up here. Maybe some of you are hearing some of this stuff for the first time this morning. I don't know. Maybe you've been in church all your life and you've heard things, but for some reason it's sinking in this morning. I don't know. Or maybe you've been saved and you've been you've been a Christian for a long, long time and you know all the stuff that I'm talking about. I just pray this morning that you can feel the Lord. No matter where you're at, if you have doubt, if you have disbelief in your heart, I pray that the Lord can take that from you and give you what you need to hear. I hope that He reveals Himself to you today in some big way so that you will have no doubt that that's who it is. And you know, once you see that the first time, it's so much easier to see it the next time. You see Him everywhere. He's everywhere in our lives. He is with us always. That's what He says. If there's someone in here that hasn't given their life to Christ, today's the day. Today's the day. A young man just a couple days ago got in a bad accident. The grinder, a hay grinder conveyor belt hit a power line and it knocked him flat on his rear, stopped his heart, stopped his breathing. I don't know if this man is a Christian or not. They were able to bring him back to life. But what I'm saying is that that stuff happens so quick. Like tomorrow is not promised. We walk out of this building, it's not promised. Jesus Christ wants you. He loves you so much. He loves you so much. He wants to be part of your life. He wants to be your life. So if there's anyone in here that hasn't taken that step to say, Lord, I give you mine. To be saved, all it takes is to confess with your mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead and you will be saved. That's all it takes. If someone needs prayers, if you have more questions about that, come up here. We can pray here, we can pray in the back, whatever it might take. But today is the day. And I say it every time, that eternal life with God does not start the day that we are in the grave. It doesn't start the day that they write our name on a gravestone. Eternal life with God starts the day that we give Him our life. He gives us life for when we're gone from this world, but He gives us life for right now. For right now. Let's pray. Father God, we just thank you so much for your word, Lord, for the testimonies of these people that you used to write these words down so that we could read them today and we could believe in you. We could believe in what happened, the work done on the cross. We can believe that Jesus was in fact raised from the dead. We can't find His bones nowhere. There is not a grave that has Jesus in it because He is with you at your right hand, God, so we can have life. And we thank you so much for that. God, we're human. And we thank you so much for understanding that there's times that we have doubt and unbelief in our hearts, but God, you have a will that's greater than ours. Lord, I just pray that we can step up into it, no matter where we're at in our heart, that we can recognize who you are. And God, to know that you are going to be with us always. Lord, I thank you. There's been hard times in my life, some things that have been hard. But God, I thank you for those. Because I've got to know you more. I get to tell these things that have happened in my life, and I just pray that someone else can grow their faith because of things that have happened in my life. Lord, sometimes we wonder where you're at. We wonder if you're really real. We wonder if you're really there. And then you show up so big. Lord, I thank you for that. We can look back and we can see how you are working and doing what you do in such a big way. I thank you so much for that, Lord. Lord, today I just pray that everyone hearing this message in this building, online, wherever it is, can just know that they know that they know that you are big and you are real and you want them so bad. God, I just pray that you'd be with us this week. Give us a reason to chew on your word. Let us think about you. Have our thoughts turned to you and our eyes on you. Lord, let us feel your blessings. Let us open our eyes to who you are. In Jesus' name I pray.